I appreciate y'all's prayers. I've had pressure from the Elrods. Yeah, well, Dennis sees me at the drugstore, and I told him I was going out of town. He says, "You're going to be back Sunday, though, aren't you?" And then I get here, and Gail says she's going to take notes. So, oh, yeah. Well, that sounds good.
No.
All right, chapter 12 of Corinthians. I guess everybody knows. Chapter 12 in Romans is basically very similar to what Paul said to the Corinthians. But there's one difference that I would like to point out, and that is he's telling the Romans how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's simple. All you got to do is, "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is a spiritual service, your spiritual service of worship." And he goes on to say that you'll know the perfect will of God. So you're filled with the Holy Spirit once you get rid of self. Of course, in chapter 7, Paul says, "You know, the very thing I don't want to do, I do. And the thing that I do, that I want to do, I don't." So he says, in himself, he has this battle. And that's what we have. We have a battle against self. We have a battle to, self will take the Holy Spirit and crowd it into a little corner of your life if you let it. And Paul was aware of that. So that's a fight that we're going to fight until we go to be with the Lord, you know. It's not an easy fight, obviously. Just because Paul had trouble with it is no excuse for us to say, "Oh, well, no problem. We can't. We're not going to win anyway." So don't use that as an excuse. The interesting thing is I don't know, the NIV says, "Make yourself a living sacrifice." And you notice, God's not going to do this. We have to do it. I hear people pray, "Fill me with your Holy Spirit." Well, if we get self out of the way, then we are. But it's up to us to get self out of the way. So, let's see. Carol and I have been here almost 3 years, and I can remember at least three times that we got in the car riding down the road, and there was cows out on the road alongside of it. One time there was a horse right in the middle of the road to stop Carolyn.
They weren't mine. Unless they hit.
Yes. Yeah, that's what all those farmers say when they get hit. You know, I don't know whose cow that was. But self is that way. Once you think you've got it pinned up, it's going to get out. And it doesn't take much to get it started again. So let's get back to 1 Corinthians. And Paul says, now, this is the New American Standard Bible. "Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. And no one says, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Once we accept Christ, the Spirit comes and dwells within us. We have to get self out of the way and be led by Him. No, I don't read good out loud. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord, and the variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. When Carolyn and I came here for the first time, Carolyn was impressed with the ministries that this class gets involved with. You know, for me it was the food. Yeah, right, Jim. But no, I was, and our class is really carrying out God's will. We're working for the Lord in this class, and it makes me feel good. If there's one gift I know this class has, the Spirit has given this class the Spirit of giving of caring. We care about people.
Amen.
Right, Fred?
Yeah. I agree with you too.
Yeah, I know. And so that's a gift that the Holy Spirit has given to us. The rest of the world, they would say, what are you, crazy? You look out for number one. Don't worry about somebody else, you know. And that's what this world tells us. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people who are listening to that kind of... I'm starting to read a book that's called Inside the Mind of an Atheist. And it's that they're ignorant of all the things that Christians actually do to make life better for so many people. So, the effects are the results of those ministries. You know, what kind of effect do you have? Does our class have? And there are a variety, but there to each one is given manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So everything we do is for this church. It is to lift Christ up. We want other people to look at our church and know that Christ is here. He's in each one of us. So when you have a job, it's for the lifting up of Christ. For the one is given the word of wisdom and through the Spirit, and the another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To me, those go right together. D.L. Lewis once said, we're given the Bible for knowledge. We were given it to change lives. That's what God wants, is us to change our lives. But to me, we get the knowledge here and hopefully have the wisdom to apply it to our lives. You know? In our house, I'll tell you, Carolyn has the most wisdom. Our kids call for advice. They do not ask for me. And that's the truth. So we get the knowledge and we have the wisdom to apply it to our lives. I actually got in trouble. I used to teach in prison, you know, and when I tried to show how you take God's word and you use it in your life, I was yelled at. We just want to learn the word. I told him, I said, what if I could quote word for word 1 Corinthians and didn't apply it anywhere? What good would that do? You know? But so I was suspended for a little while. But anyway, it was sort of like when I was back in high school and stuff. So we get the knowledge, we have the wisdom to apply it to our lives. To another is faith by the same Spirit, and then another the gift of healing by one Spirit. You know, faith is trust. We trust God to do what is best for us. Probably one of the greatest example of faith that I witnessed was when Carolyn found out she had cancer. You know, we're sitting at a breakfast table. I'm sorry, I'm getting emotional. But we're sitting at a breakfast table, and Carolyn says, God's will be done. How can you trust any more than that?
Amen.
So she was saying, if I live or if I die, I know it is what God wants to do. I'm putting myself in His hands. And so, when we can do that, we put our trust in God, and I mean totally put our trust in God, we have this peace that comes over us. You know, I don't have to worry about it anymore. I don't have to take control of it. I'm giving it to you, Lord. You know? And so that peace is indescribable. All of a sudden, when you went from here to trusting what the Lord is going to do. So that's what the Spirit does for us. Then there's another gift, and that is healing by the one Spirit. Now, I don't know. It's God who does the healing. But this is evidently some gift that God gives each one of us. I mean, not each one of us, certain people. He uses them as a conduit for the healing of others. I was telling Sarah, I thought I would, we never know. Sarah falls, breaks her hips, goes to the hospital, gets a new hip. Well, gets a new part of hip. Friend of ours, and Carolyn and I, back at our other church, sweet lady, she falls. They rush her to the hospital. She's hurting. They scan her. No broken bones anywhere. She never left the hospital. She died there. Now, she was a sweet lady. Been a Christian many years. So, I don't know. Does anybody have any thoughts on that?
It's your time, it's your time,
right. And the Spirit chooses who He's going to use as a healer. So incident, that was, by the way, it's Eastside Hospital in Snellville. You don't want to ever go there. I promise. You don't want to go there. I don't know. Can I be sued for that? I don't know. But anyway, here's my lawyer over here. And another, the effecting of miracles. Miracles are the suspension of what would normally happen, you know. And those are brought about the Lord. But evidently someone picked those back there. The Spirit had given people the gift of bringing about miracles. Now, I don't know of anyone here that we could say, but most of the time that I see miracles, it's not through some person. It's just I believe that God did it, you know. And no, I can't point to any one person that I know who was responsible for it or were the conduit for it. Another is prophecy, and another is the distinguishing of spirits. And prophecy is, we understand what that is, but the distinguishing of spirits, one time I had a prisoner who told me, he said, you know, God speaks to me. I said, He does. He said, yeah. He said he spoke to me and told me that this other inmate was going to be released within a short period of time. And he said, I went to that other inmate and I said, you know, God's told me you're going to be released. And the inmate said, oh, man, you're crazy. You know I'm the one that murdered that convenience store guy, right? And he said, yeah, but God told me you're going to be released. And he said, and shortly, he was released. Now, was it God that made him, that told him that? Or, you know, me, I have to have it pass some test. Does it agree with God's word? With what someone, because we're trying to distinguish which spirit told you this. There are other spirits other than God that will tell you a lie. And I asked him, I said, I never could make him understand. But I asked him, I said, did the guy accept Christ? No. Did he start, you know, did he start bringing people to know Christ? No. He just turned him loose. So what purpose would God have for just turning this murderer back out on the street? Got me, but I don't think, unless you have a purpose that God wants you to carry out, I don't see it, you know? So the distinguishing of spirits, because some spirits are, you know, we got to watch who we are listening to. Does it agree with God's word? But one and the same spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. So the gifts that we get are from the Holy Spirit, and he decides which one of us get what. Now, we may think that we need to be doing this instead of that. But the Spirit knows better. We are doing this to bring about the common good of all. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. I call some of you guys brother. And that's because I know that we have a commonality between us. And we all belong to this church, and it's one body. It is and what happens to this church happens to me. And what I can do for this church, I do. You know? If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, and it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. So, I think Paul's trying to say is that we may think we should be doing something else, or else someone thinks that their job's not important, but really, we are all part. Every part is important. Sonia, I'll tell you, our little hips, you wouldn't believe how important we feel like they are. You know, the pain that we went through. And so it is with every bit of ours. Everyone's job is, regardless, in God's eyes, is just as important. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, Where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would be the sense of smell? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there is another member, there are many members, but one body. So he's saying that although you feel, it's like you've got an inferiority complex, it seems to me. They're saying, well, you know, I'm not doing the important stuff, so I don't really feel part of the body. But the truth of the matter is, you are. And the eye cannot, and this is where he changes. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become more and more presentable. So he's saying we need to praise those who do whatever. If you take the trash out, you should pray it as they should be praised as much as the person who does the prophecy. The one who does the prophecy is always in the public view. The one who does the cleaning up of the kitchen is not necessarily, but deserves the same, what is the word? Same. Yeah. When he says that the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Well, what's happening, in my opinion on this, and you may disagree, but it seems the arrogance. I don't need you, you know, like I'm doing everything, you know. And I don't know if any of you have ever read Mere Christianity, but C.S. Lewis says that's the biggest sin there is. He's got a whole chapter on it. Self-deceit or pride is it's the most complete anti-God mindset you can have. You're saying, I don't need you, God. I can take care of it myself. Look at what I've done, you know, never giving God credit. And so what he's saying here is you need to humble yourself. The other members of the body, which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to those members that were lacking, so that they may be not divisions in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Now, you are Christ's body, individual members of it. And God has appointed in each church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, and various kinds of tongues. Carol and I have attended a church that spoke in tongues. Has anyone else? Oh, okay. When I read Pentecost in Acts, it seems to me that everyone there are people who are not even the ones who have accepted Christ, recognize the language of the people who are speaking in tongues. And so I'm not here to argue one way or the other, but I'm just saying this is what I see. You know, I read a book by Jimmy I wanted to say Jimmy Swaggart. I would never read a book by Swimmy. I hate it when I did this. Who just died at 100 years old?
Billy Graham.
Just as I am. I do that all the time. Billy Graham wrote a book called Just As I Am. And in that book, there's a picture. One page is a picture. And Mr. Graham is standing on the top of a scaffolding that's about at least 10 or 12 feet high. You know, he's got his back to the camera. And when you start to study the picture, there's people down at the bottom of the scaffolding looking up at him. And then there's more people in back of that one. And there's more people in back of that. And there's more people. There's a little valley. And as far as the eye can see, and up the other side of the valley, there are people there. Under the picture, it says that there was estimated over 2 million people. 2 million people came to listen to Jimmy Swaggart. Billy Graham. Sorry. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I got to go. But anyway, there's a guy standing next to Billy Graham. And every time Billy Graham says something, this guy interpreted it. This was in South Korea. Now that's when, speaking in tongues, that's what I see. That's the vision that comes to mind. I got to quit. So, we are given gifts. We want the Holy Spirit to lead us in our lives so that we can use those gifts to uplift this church. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, thank you, Lord, for helping me get through this. Lord, we look to you for our guidance. Lord, we fight self and want you to be our driving factor. Lord, we pray that you use the gifts that your gifts that you give us are used in a way that's pleasing to you. Be with us now with Michael, Lord. We pray for his sermon, and we pray that someone's heart may be touched this morning. We pray all this in your son Jesus' name. Amen.